The sermon title today is, Are Your Expectors On? The Word of God is amazing. In John 17:17, He says, we are sanctified by the Word of God. We are cleansed and separated by His Word. The Word draws us closer to God. The Word draws us closer to Jesus. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, the Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It can pierce the hardest of hearts. There's no one out there that's outside of the grace of God, that His Word can pierce their hearts. In Mark chapter 13, verse 31, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The Scripture tells us the Word of God is pure. It is without error. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word builds our faith as we involve ourselves in the Word of God. Yes, God's Word is amazing, and that's why we at Crossroads Gospel Church believe the Word, stand on the Word, and promote the Word. Amen? We believe the Word, we stand on the Word, and we promote the Word. There's too many churches out there today. They're going and they're gathering on every Sunday morning, and they're praying for people, never expecting them to be healed. When you come to Crossroads Gospel Church, we expect you to be healed, because the Word of God says you can be. That's what we stand on, is His Word. We stand on His Word for our salvation. We stand on the Word for our healing. We stand on the Word for our deliverance as well. Amen. No one is outside of the grace of God. No one is ever outside of the power of God. God can do a work in each and every one of your lives. He wants you to come to church on Sunday and not leave the same every Sunday. He wants to grow and enlarge His life in each and every one of us today. What God says will come to pass. His prophecy is true and without error. And today, I want us to look at one today that was prophesied 500 years before it happened, and it happened. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, the triumphal entry is what we're going to be talking about. In verse 1 of Matthew 21, it says, now when they drew near to Jerusalem and they came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her loose them, and bring them to me, and if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately He will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. So the disciples went out and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them and set him on them, and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? This Jewish people had been looking for this to happen for years and years and years. And when you see that it's italicized in verse 5, if your Bible does that, it's telling you that that was prophecy that was being fulfilled in their very eyes and their very ears that day. Every one of the four Gospels tells the story of the triumphal entry. That's how important that it is. Jesus is announced to the world. He is announced to the world here. Then the triumphal entry is shared in all four Gospels that the Messiah has come. The Messiah has arrived. Now we're going to look back in the Old Testament, and we're going to go back and see where this came from. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Now Zechariah is the book just before Matthew. Zechariah chapter 9. Oh, I thought it was right before. Where is it? Malachi, right before Malachi. Yeah. I need to get me one of them Bible bookmarks so I don't keep myself straight. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Listen to the words. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, this doesn't mean really that much to us, because we're here today. We can go to Matthew, we can go to either one of the Gospels, and then we can turn back to Zechariah and say, well, you know, that's not really any big deal. I mean, it's here in Zechariah, and then I turn a few pages and I'm in Matthew. That's no big deal. They had been waiting 500 years for this promise to be fulfilled. They had been waiting and waiting and waiting for this promise to be fulfilled. Let's go to another scripture. Go back to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. Daniel is right after Ezekiel. Daniel, and go to chapter 9. This is an amazing portion of scripture, and we've talked about it before, but the calculations is amazing. But if you go to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25, it says, now therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah Prince, Jesus, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. Messiah the Prince was announced that he would be coming. Zechariah announced the coming Messiah. Daniel announces the coming Messiah in over 400 years before it had happened, exactly as Zechariah had promised, exactly as Daniel had promised. In fact, I think it was like 483 years in the calculation on the day that the Lord Jesus came and fulfilled that prophecy. Now, why is that important to us today? God's Word is pure. God's Word is without error. Maybe there is something we don't understand, or we just have a partial understanding, but that doesn't make the Bible wrong. Why is this prophecy concerning Christ important? Because we have more prophecy concerning Christ ahead of us. And if there's one was true, if this one was true, then fasten your seatbelts. The prophecy that is coming is going to be true as well. So remember that we know that this prophecy concerning the Messiah was true, and it came about even though they waited and waited for the coming of that Messiah. We today are waiting the coming of the Messiah, are we not? And the prophecy is there. And every believer, we are not of the night, we are of the day. We should not be surprised by the coming of the Lord Jesus, but the believer should be saying, I know He can come at any time. I'm waiting for Him to come at any time. Because I see this world that we live in that is getting worse and worse and worse. Turn with me to John chapter 14. The Gospel of John in chapter 14. In John 14, verse 1, John 14 and verse 1, it says, John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If I were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there that you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Verse 3 is referring to the rapture of the church, where we will meet the Lord in the clouds. Now turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you didn't think that was clear enough, listen to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. And it says, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. And who are those that have fallen asleep? Those that have gone on to glory. Those that have already passed away. The Lord Jesus always, when he looked upon death as being a temporary thing, a temporary stage that they are. That's why he was referring to them as just falling asleep. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow of others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we are, who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we will always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Chapter 5, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. And you, brethren, are not in darkness. So this day should overtake you as a thief. You are the sons of light and the sons and daughters of the day. You are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope of salvation. For God did not, listen to these words, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. The great tribulation in verse 9 many times is known as a great time of wrath. And what is the Lord, what is he telling us in the scripture today? You have not been appointed for that. You are not appointed for the tribulation. You will be gone before the tribulation starts because you have not been appointed. He has not appointed us to wrath. That will not be a part of our life. We're leaving this place. We're out of here. We're gone. This can be a car lot. It can be an empty building. They can turn it into an apartment. We do not care because the body of Christ will not be here anymore. We're going on to glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says, you are not appointed to that. That's why in verse 4, in verse 17, if you go back there in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, verse 17, thus we who are alive and remain when the Lord returns shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, where? In the air. And then we shall always be with the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And it says, verse 19 of 2 Peter chapter 1. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which do you do well to heed as light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture, of any private interpretation, what is Pastor Leo telling you today? What I am telling you today is what the church believes. And it used to be the whole church used to believe this. Anymore, you have a hard time finding a church that'll teach you or preach about the coming of the Lord and a rapture of the church. And it's really sad to say, but what we're preaching here and what we're teaching here is not of a private interpretation, but as it is shared with us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 21, for the prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The prophetic word of the Scripture, Peter says, it is confirmed. We need to heed it. Now look at verse 20 and 21. Knowing this, first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. As the Jews awaited the coming of the Messiah in the triumphal entry, we are awaiting for the Messiah to catch us away. And if they believed it then, we can also believe it now because of the truth of the Scripture. The Lord's coming is at hand. Are you ready? Are you expecting it? Are you anticipating it? Church, you had better get ready and get your expector on. And every day that we come to the house of the Lord in this place, we should come with high expectations. Carol told me one Sunday, she said, "Boy, you really got excited today." And I said, "I have a high expectation because I serve a high God. And because I serve a high God, I can have a high expectation that I can stand on His Word, believe His Word, and His Word will come true." Amen? Amen. Amen. Every Sunday you come to church, I want your expector on. We want the Holy Spirit to fall in this place. It's not just a place we can visit and have coffee and visit with one another. We come here because we want the movement of the Holy Spirit, because that's what changes lives. That's what draws people into the fellowship. We praise Him forevermore. Christ is going to return. 2 Peter chapter 3. Go there with me. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and the Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last day." Have you ever known a scoffer? "Walking according to their own lusts and saying, 'Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.'" You suppose they said that in the Old Testament? "The Messiah has never come. You've been preaching it for 250 years. It hasn't happened yet. You've been preaching it for 400 years. It hasn't happened yet." We're at the 500-year mark and the Messiah shows up. Just when you think not is when the Lord's going to come and take us home. "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, 'Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water, in the water by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire unto the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, but not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Hallelujah. Praise be to His name. 1,000 years to you is only a day to the Lord, because He's not limited by time. You're limited by time. You have to go to work. You got to work 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours. You're watching that clock all the time. And you're watching your life go by all the time too. Say, "You know, just I can remember when I was 35 years old. Now I'm 66 years old. Where did all that time go?" But in the time, in the Lord, He's not limited by time. So when we go back and we talk about the Lord Jesus, well, it's been over 2,000 years since Jesus died on the cross for Calvary. Well, that's only 2 days for the Lord. So don't think the Lord is slack concerning His promise, but that all would come to repentance and know Jesus. Scoffers, false teachers, those that laugh it off, sure, whatever, it's not happening. Well, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, he says, "For this they willfully forget, by the word of God, the heavens were old, and the earth standing out of the water, in the water, by which the world then existed, perished and be flooded with waters." They laughed and they mocked at Noah, didn't they? Same thing. They laughed and they mocked at Noah. Can you imagine all the years it took Noah to build that ark? Imagine Noah's neighbor. And the little neighbor boy comes over, and Noah says, "You need to repent. Your folks need to repent and accept and be faithful." And the little boy, he runs back over to his mom and dad and says, "Dad, that old guy over there by the name of Noah, he says this is going to flood this earth." He said that for years. Was he one of them that was pounding on the door of the ark to try to get in? Jesus is your ark today. You got to get in. You can't wait. Because when we change and when the Lord catches away, it will be done in a twinkling of an eye. An eye that twinkles is faster than you can blink. In Matthew chapter 24, I got to watch my time. Now, I'll give you this scripture, Matthew 24, verse 36 through 44. It was like in the days of Noah. Let's go there. Let's go to Matthew 24. We got time. You don't have nothing else to do today, do you? I wish, right? Matthew 24, verse 36. If I try to paraphrase it, I'll miss something. Matthew 24. Verse 36. It says, "But at the day and hour, no one knows, that even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." In the days of Noah was terrible lawlessness. And you see lawlessness as never before in the nation that we live in today. He goes on to say, "For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be." Listen to the words. "Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." It looks much like today in the days of Noah. But also catch something else in verse 38 and 39. Where he says, "For in the days before the flood, what were they doing? Eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage." Just a typical day. Just a typical day. We can see the signs of the times. We see the lawlessness. And we see the things that are taking place in our world and around us that we would have never thought 50 years ago we'd ever see this world be in the shape that it is today. We can see that. But the one thing that we don't know about is it's just going to be like a day like any other day. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Jason going to work and he's in the truck all by himself? He's going down the road and all of a sudden, he's gone. And that truck goes on down the highway all by itself until it crashes into whatever it crashes. An airline pilot that's a captain that knows Jesus, all of a sudden he's gone. And he's the only one on that plane that knows Jesus. And that plane is going to crash and burn. That's what it's going to be like in the twinkling of an eye. So it's not only that I need to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but to be ready, saint. We need to be ready. What's really important to us today? One day the return will look like any other day. No warning, no foreshadowing of that day. Could it be today? And are you ready? Let's say we did get a warning. Maybe some of you in here have watched the Hunger Games. You remember watching the Hunger Games, and at the end of the day, boom, you'd hear that great big explosion. And then it would show the person that had died that day. But just think, if the Lord gave us a warning 6 months in advance, boom, my son is going to return in 6 months. And every week that sound would go off, supersonic. And that countdown would be taking place. Well, you and I don't realize it, but we're on that countdown right now. The Lord is going to return. Are we ready? If you knew he was coming in 6 months, there's not a person in this room that wouldn't change something. And what would you change that needs to be changed? Let us pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for your truth of your word, the prophecy that, Father, that we can stand on because your word is pure and it is true. And we stand on it forevermore in our lives. And I pray that, Father, for anyone in this room that may not know Jesus, that, Father, today would be the day of salvation. For the saint, we need to be ready. The Lord's coming is at hand. The scripture says, "Come, Lord Jesus." That's the words we echo. Come, Lord Jesus. So we're ready. We're saints. We're ready. Is there something we need to change in our lives? Something that needs to be excluded? We can probably all think of something, can't we? I can. Something I need to work on. My attitude, my behavior, my thinking. Lord, help us to draw closer to You and draw closer to You each and every day. As Your Word sanctifies us, may it sanctify our hearts and our lives. As we grow in faith by Your Word, cleanse us, Father, and draw us ever closer to Jesus until the day comes that we're all caught away and there's none of us left here in this place. We rejoice in Your love forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.